Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, this is the Highland Radio News at 5 o'clock. I'm Daniel Brennan. This evening's main headlines, 2,000 children a day are being told to stay off school after becoming a close contact of a COVID case. And the surging number of young people presenting for tests after the reopening of schools has now in part led to the HSE suspending walk-in COVID-19 testing at all centres across the country. The INMO says there were 413 people awaiting beds in Irish hospitals today. That's again the highest figure since the pandemic began. And the Sinn Féin leader is calling for the Foreign Affairs Minister to be sacked due to the Catherine Zappone controversy. We'll have those stories in full and a lot more, as well as the latest in sport, coming up for you in the next half hour. Back to our main stories this evening though, and 2,000 children a day are now being told to stay off school after becoming a close contact of a COVID-19 case. Health officials here are now considering relaxing self-isolation rules for those who do not have any symptoms. Currently, students must stay at home for at least 10 days if they've been in contact with a confirmed case in school. HSE National Lead for Testing and Tracing Niamh O'Byrne says close contacts are affecting a large number of children.
It is growing around about 2,000 a day based on the number of primary schools in particular who come into the contact tracing system. So it's an estimate that roughly around 14,000 children have been identified as a close contact since the beginning of school.
The surge in the number of young people presenting for tests after the reopening of schools has now in part led to the HSE temporarily suspending walk-in COVID-19 testing at all test centres across the country. The health service says the decision has been taken in order to reduce queuing times after demand increased by 35% in just the past 48 hours. Michaela Clark has more.
Walk-in testing facilities at all COVID-19 testing centres in the Northwest have been suspended as of today. This follows the announcement yesterday that the Letterkenny Testing Centre would be suspending walk-ins and only accepting those who booked a test appointment online. The HSE say that the temporary pause of walk-ins comes to help testing centres work more smoothly, as well as lowering waiting times for those seeking a test. They say the pause on walk-ins may continue on past today and into the weekend if the numbers presenting at test centres remains high. On Monday, 750 people were tested at the Letterkenny Centre, just under 200 at the Cleary Centre in Donegal Town. Appointment for all testing centres can be booked online at hse.ie.
And the HSE's Niamh O'Byrne has said that young people are behind the increasing demand for tests.
It's to do with the volume of children under the age of 14 who are presenting for testing. We have really high volumes, particularly through walk-in and self-referral. So in the last 7 days, we've had over 25,000 children of this age group come forward for testing in the interest of children so that they don't have to stand in queue, especially as the warmer weather. It's much better if they can book an appointment time and show up for that time.
1,210 people have tested positive for COVID-19 in the north in the past 24 hours. An additional 6 COVID-related deaths have also been recorded there today. There are now 454 patients being treated for the virus in hospitals in Northern Ireland, with 44 of those receiving intensive care. And the INMO says there were 413 people awaiting beds in Irish hospitals today. That's again the highest figure since the beginning of the pandemic. The previous peak was yesterday's number, when 395 patients were waiting for a bed nationally. Letterkenny University Hospital remains the same as yesterday, with 27 people awaiting beds, 5 of those on emergency department trolleys, while Sligo had 26 awaiting beds. INMO General Secretary Phil Nihay says this is putting more and more pressure on nurses and midwives.
Nurses and midwives who are exhausted, who themselves have suffered with COVID-19 when the pandemic commenced and we didn't have vaccines. And many have long COVID, unfortunately, and they haven't recovered. But we still see infections today of healthcare workers, and we have to make sure that the environment in which they work is a safe environment. That's a legal obligation on the HSE as the employer. Overcrowding at any time is really, really bad. It is bad for patients, it's bad for staff, it's bad for longer-term issues such as retention of staff. It causes a worsening of outcomes for patients. It's never good, but it is really bad during a pandemic and going into the winter months when we traditionally have had excessive overcrowding. We just say it simply cannot be tolerated.
This evening, the Sinn Féin leader is calling for the Foreign Affairs Minister to be sacked due to the Catherine Zappone controversy. It follows Simon Coveney's appearance before a special Oireachtas committee yesterday. Mary Lou MacDonald says Sinn Féin will table a no-confidence motion in him in the Dáil if the Taoiseach does not take action. She says that Minister Coveney's position is now untenable.
There needs to be accountability now at the heart of government. There needs to be an appropriate sanction for Simon Coveney. The Taoiseach needs to act. I think he needs to come out today and set out very clearly the course of action that he proposes to take. It's hard to see how Minister Coveney can stay on, given all that has transpired over the last 8 weeks.
Also, the youngest TD in the country is calling on the Foreign Affairs Minister to make a public apology over the Zappone controversy. It comes as the Green Party leader has given his backing to Simon Coveney over the debacle. Stephanie Roan has this report from the government's weekly cabinet meeting at Dublin Castle.
Senior ministers have been meeting here at Dublin Castle as the Catherine Zappone controversy continues to cast a shadow over the government. Most ministers declined to speak to reporters, except for Green Party leader Eamon Ryan. He said he still supports Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Coveney and feels it's time to move on.
This was a distraction, and I think the sooner we focus on the key challenges facing the country, the better. That's what the people want us to do.
One way to move on from this, according to Fianna Fáil TD for East Cork, James O'Connor, is for Simon Coveney to make a public apology. The 24-year-old says the Fine Gael minister has apologised to the Foreign Affairs Committee, but needs to take that one step further.
Look, from my own perspective, I think it's quite important that Minister Coveney would go before Dáil Éireann as the parliament of our country, and to make a public apology to the people of the country, to his Oireachtas colleagues within the government, within Fianna Fáil, the Green Party and Fine Gael, and also those within the opposition.
The ongoing controversy is likely to feature Fianna Fáil's party thinking, which is taking place in Cavan tomorrow. Stephanie Roan, Dublin Castle.
The Kerry village of Lixnaw has been left reeling following a suspected double murder and suicide. A woman in her early 60s and her 23-year-old son were found dead at a house in the area, both with gunshot wounds. The body of the woman's partner, a man in his 60s, was found in a nearby field with a shotgun shortly after. Paul O'Donoghue has this report.
Shock and devastation can only begin to describe the emotions being felt in Lixnaw this morning after the town awoke to the news of the suspected double murder-suicide in the local townland of Ballyreen. It is believed the man shot the woman and her son before taking his own life, but Gardaí have stressed the investigation is still at an early stage. Kerry Mayor and Fianna Fáil councillor Jimmy Maloney says the community is stunned.
So there would be devastation across the community, and look, like I say, they have our support at this time, and we're thinking of them today.
While these locals also say the area is reeling.
Never expected something like this to happen. I was shocked to hear it.
Well, I would imagine people are quite shell-shocked. It's not something that you expect. No, terrible.
A technical investigation of the family's bungalow home is about to start, with more details to emerge throughout the day.
38 locations across the country will now get permanent weather-resistant facilities, including two in Donegal, to allow for a longer outdoor dining season. Donegal County Council received just over €250,000 in Fáilte Ireland funding to provide for these permanent outdoor dining facilities. Just over 126,000 will be dedicated to the Bundoran Oceanside, and 137,000 will go to outdoor dining works at the Port Road in Letterkenny. They come as part of a €9 million project across 19 counties from the Department of Tourism. The first section of the scheme saw individual businesses given grants of up to €4,000 for seating as well as accessories outside. Chief Executive of Fáilte Ireland, Paul Kelly, says the structures will be helpful, particularly when the weather turns.
To develop enhanced weather-resistant outdoor dining, so effectively to enable people to outdoor dine in various areas around the country through for longer in the season and is suitable to the Irish climate.
Papers presented to today's Education Committee at Stormont have reported that plans for a new Irish medium school in Strabán are on time and on budget. Procurement is due to take place before the end of the year, with construction set to start by June next year and the school set to open in autumn of 2023. The cost of the project is estimated at between £4 and £6 million, and West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan says it's good news for Strabán.
We have some good news. Following the Education Committee meeting today, the papers have revealed that the Procurement is due to take place in the next quarter, so before December 2021, with construction planned by June 2022, and taking a year for construction, which is exciting and is great for this local area. It's long anticipated and long called for. It's a £46 million investment in Irish medium education for the children of Strabane, and it's hugely welcome.
The use of Irish language rights is always a contentious issue in Northern Ireland. Do you feel this now could perhaps be a trendsetter that in more places in the north we'll see more and more Gaelscoil or Irish language teaching opportunities come forward now with this new investment kind of setting the way?
Children's education is never contentious. I think this is an invaluable investment in Irish language for this community. There's a huge amount of support for the Irish language right across Tyrone and West Tyrone in particular, and people here have huge support for it. So this facility has a huge amount of support. There's a lot of local people have worked tirelessly to see it get to this level, and they should be applauded absolutely for their tremendous efforts in getting us to this stage. This is exciting. It is far from controversial. It's exciting. It's exciting for those children, for those parents and for this community, and has the full support of the SDLP and other parties as well in ensuring its full delivery. And I have to welcome the £4 to £6 million investment that is going to be required for its full completion in this area.
Funding totalling €4.2 million has been allocated to the Connacht Ulster Alliance Consortium in order to facilitate upgrades to a number of ITs, including LYIT, as they work towards achieving technological university status. The Connacht Ulster Alliance Consortium consists of LYIT, as well as Sligo IT and Galway Mayo IT, and they will share the newly announced funding as all three institutions continue to make progress towards becoming technological universities, as they can now upgrade their facilities and continue to diversify their teaching capacities and their on-campus facilities. Donegal Deputy Am Minister Charlie McConlogue said today that continued funding for the prospective technological universities is important, and that the proposed Technological University of Connacht Ulster would have many beneficial impacts for the region and for County Donegal. It's 12 minutes past five. We'll take a short break now. Sport is coming up after these.
Sport on Highland, brought to you in association with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Go the distance with a great range of running shoes, sports gear and accessories at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15, time to go over to Oisin with the latest in sport.
Yeah, thanks, Daniel. We start with golf. Golf Ireland has welcomed the RNA's announcement today that the Open Championship is to return to Royal Portrush in 2025. The world's oldest tournament will return to Irish soil for the first time since 2019. Shane Lowry triumphed on the Dunluce Links on that occasion. Royal Portrush is also the traditional home of the North of Ireland Amateur Open. Well, there's no room for Patrick Reed and Steve Stricker's US Ryder Cup team. The 2018 Masters champion was not among the captain's picks for the meeting with Europe at Whistling Straits. Tony Finau, Xander Schauffele, Jordan Spieth and Harris English got the nod after being the next four players on the Ryder Cup rankings. While tournament rookies Daniel Berger and Scotty Scheffler also got the nod ahead of Reed. Padraig Harrington, of course, will be finalising his European team this coming Sunday night. Harrington knows that they're set to come up against a ferocious crowd in America, but says that won't deter them.
It's going to be loud. As long as everybody knows it's golf and is respectful before shots are hit, we play the Ryder Cup in order because of that atmosphere. So I think we've got to embrace it. If at all possible, hit great golf shots, you get great cheers. And that would be my attitude during the week.
Kevin Kelleher looks set to be thrust into a starting role for Liverpool this coming weekend. Alisson, Fabinho and Roberto Firmino look set to miss the Premier League game with Leeds after the Brazilian FA invoked FIFA's five-day rule after an international. They were among a number of players not released by Premier League clubs for Brazil's game with Argentina. Leeds, Manchester City, Chelsea and Manchester United will all be affected by the ruling too. Northern Ireland midfielder Alistair McCann says tonight's clash with Switzerland is crucial in their bid for World Cup qualification. Victory at Windsor Park could take Ian Barraclough's team as high as second in Group C. McCann says their hopes of a place in Qatar next year are still very much alive.
The group's on sort of a knife edge at the minute after we've put ourselves in a good position beating Lithuania the other day there. So if we go and get a good result, there's no reason why we can't kick on next month as well, and then the group will be looking, will be all to play for, yeah.
Elsewhere, England are in Warsaw. They're playing Poland in Group A. Both games kick off at 7:45. And also tonight, Wales in action against Estonia. Bunnigie United are taking on Fin Harps under-21s tonight in the Ulster Senior League Cup. That one starts at the Dry Arch Park at 7:30. Two games tonight as well in the Donegal Youth League. Kilmacrenan and Celtic take on Cager Rovers, and Drumclean are playing Letterkenny Rovers. In cricket, Ireland are chasing a target of 267 in their first one-day international with Zimbabwe in Belfast. A short time ago, the hosts were on 157 for the loss of two in the 33rd over. William Porterfield with 74 not out in the innings. Ireland still need 110 off 17 overs if they are to take victory. The countdown continues ahead of Saturday's All-Ireland Gaelic football final between Tyrone and Mayo. Mayo disposed of the All-Ireland champions Dublin at the semi-final stage a number of weeks ago, and Tyrone joint manager Brian Duher says given their recent history in getting to the final on several occasions, they would have a bit more experience of the big day than his own side.
Mayo are a phenomenal outfit. You know, they've beat Dublin, and Dublin, like, were six times All-Ireland champion. They haven't been that for nothing, and you know what, the match was tight, but what's more important is they held Dublin to 13 points in normal time, which no team have got anywhere near that over the years. And their intensity, their work rate, their tackling, and then their just general overall play, it was exceptional. You know, Mayo have a lot of excellent footballers, and you have to think about it, a lot of them boys have played in a lot of Ireland finals too. They have a great bit of experience throughout that squad, and a lot of knowledge in it, and a lot of experience built up, and that'll stand them in good stead. You know, it's something that maybe we are a bit shorter on that than Mayo would be.
Colin Bonner has emerged as the favourite to succeed Liam Sheedy as Tipperary hurling manager. The former Wexford and Carlow manager was an All-Ireland winner as a tip player in 1989 and 1991. Finally, in rugby, Philip Brown is to retire as IRFU chief executive after 23 years as the head of the association. Brown is set to be replaced on an interim basis by Chief Operating Officer Kevin Potts. That's your sport, Daniel. Back with more tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Oisin. Back to news now, and Kyle Locke of Donegal County Council Jack Murray has welcomed the news that Burnfoot-based firm E&I Engineering is being sold in a deal worth up to €1.7 billion. E&I, which makes electrical switchgear as well as power distribution systems, is being bought by American-based company Vertiv Holdings. They say that all current roles will be protected and that there are plans to expand the workforce of the company, with 100 new jobs to be created across E&I's plants in the Northwest over the next year. Councillor Jack Murray is a native of Burnfoot, and he hopes the acquisition shows the potential of the Inishowen area and the Northwest as a whole.
My first thought, and it's early days yet, so I haven't obviously seen the full agreement or the terms of the purchase, but I would hope that it's a recognition of the real potential of Inishowen, Donegal and the Northwest in the sphere of engineering. We've seen Inishowen engineering has grown in a huge way. Now we've seen this huge purchase, so I would hope that it's a statement of intent and that greater jobs could grow out of this, and the real potential and of the skills that we have in this area will be recognised, and we'll continue to grow and create more employment.
That would be the hope, that this is an investment in the area as well as the company, and that this will be a signal of growth rather than sometimes you can see with these types of companies, they would perhaps purchase the company and then, you know, slowly begin to offshore things and move things here and there. Would you like to see a commitment from the new owners of E&I to remain in the area, in the Inishowen area?
Oh, absolutely. I want assurances that these jobs are protected. The current Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment was Leo Varadkar, was up as Taoiseach and visited E&I and saw for himself the potential of that company. So I would hope that he's going to make representations and ensure that all jobs are protected. But I would hope that this is a positive move. I would hope that this is an investment in the people and the real opportunities that Inishowen, Donegal and Derry have, and that this is a recognition of the capability and potential of this area, and rather than being a threat to this area, I hope that it's a reassurance and that we'll see more and more jobs grow out of this, because E&I, since it came to Burnfoot, has done nothing but flourish, and that's because of the people that we have in this area, the real skills that we have in this area.
Letterkenny's Port Road is to close for major resurfacing works over the next 2 to 3 nights. The road will close to the public between the station roundabout and the Polestar roundabout tonight and tomorrow, with a provision to extend the closure into Friday night. Donegal County Council says progress over the next two nights will determine if the closure on Friday night will be necessary. The resurfacing work is expected to take place from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. and diversions will be in place. And finally, the registrar of Letterkenny Institute of Technology says there are vacancies in almost half the courses on offer at the facility, and they'll be offered today for people who wish to make new applications. Billy Bennett says in terms of the offers made in the CAO's first round yesterday, the numbers getting their first preference was up on 2019, and he says later this month, the college will be welcoming around 5,000 students onto the campus, over 1,000 of those being first years.
Things have changed significantly since 2020, and particularly with the rollout of the vaccine programme, and we're aiming to bring back our hopefully 1,100 first-year students and in the region of 5,000 students in total. First years back on the 27th of September and all other students back 1 week earlier, and they will be going back into face-to-face lectures, practicals and tutorials.
In terms of first years, Billy, a lot of people will have got their places, they'll be happy, they'll be making their plans today. Others perhaps have fallen short in their points, they'll be sitting down considering their options, looking at what might be available to them. What advice would you have for them?
Yeah, so I think most students will be happy. We made more than 2,500 offers yesterday, and the majority of those students will be happy because what they got was a first preference, and that's 20% of an increase compared to the pre-pandemic levels. But for those who aren't happy, there probably are still two options available. The most important one, I think, to point out is available places. So as of noon today, we will release 22 courses out of the 50 CAO courses in the Institute on available places. And they are essentially new applications available to students. Three of those are Level 8 programmes, so honours degree programmes in areas like marketing and online technologies, architectural technology and computer science, so all growing areas of industry and locally and nationally. And a further 19 programmes, we will release additional places at Level 6 and 7. Further offers then, of course, will issue in Round 2, and that's on Monday the 20th of September. I would advise people to come to LYIT's Information Day this Friday. So for parents and prospective students, Friday, booking is essential.
And now this evening's weather. Generally cloudy, with further showers moving up from the south later on, turning heavy in parts. Those showers will become more frequent tonight, with some heavy thundery downpours possible, bringing a risk of spot flooding. A humid night tonight, with temperatures no lower than 15 or 16 degrees. This evening's main headlines once again. 2,000 children a day are now being told to stay off school after becoming a close contact of a COVID case. Health officials here are now considering relaxing self-isolation rules for children who do not have symptoms. The surging number of younger people presenting for tests after the reopening of schools has now in part led to the HSE suspending walk-in COVID-19 testing at all testing centres across the country. They say the decision has been taken to reduce queues after demand increased by 35% in the last 2 days. The INMO says there were 413 people awaiting beds in Irish hospitals today. That's the highest figure since the pandemic began. The previous peak was set yesterday, when 395 patients were waiting for a bed. Letterkenny University Hospital remains with 27 people awaiting beds, 5 of those on emergency department trolleys. And finally, the Sinn Féin leader is calling for the Foreign Affairs Minister to be sacked due to the Catherine's Opponent controversy. It follows Simon Coveney's appearance before a special Oireachtas committee yesterday. That's all from the newsroom for now. We'll be back again with the latest headlines for you at 6 o'clock. But until then, good evening. The obituary notices for Wednesday evening, September the 8th. The death has taken place of Mickey Moy, Letterbreck, Cloughan. His remains will repose at his home from this evening, Wednesday at 8 p.m. Family, neighbours and friends, welcome. Please adhere to current guidelines regarding social distancing, wearing a face mask and handshaking. Requiem Mass at 11 a.m. on Saturday in the Church of Our Lady of Perpetual Succour, Glenfinn, with burial afterwards to Fintown Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv. The death has taken place of Bobby McBride, 9 McGurr Park, Strabane, and formerly of Derry Road, Strabane.
Funeral leaving his home on Friday at 9:25 a.m. for Requiem Mass in the Sacred Heart Church, Derry Road at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in St Mary's Cemetery, Clockhoar. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newton Place, Strabane. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to the family only, please. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam at churchservices.tv. The death has occurred of Hugh Harron, Drumbo Upper, Stranorlar. Funeral leaving his late residence on Friday morning at 10:30 a.m. for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate Stranorlar at 11. Interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam at churchservices.tv/Stranorlar. The house and funeral are private to family only, please. The death has taken place of Annie Devine Needehan, 96 Carrickian Road, Stroneback, Dunamana, and formerly of Ballyrory, Craigban. Funeral leaving her home tomorrow at 10:20 a.m. for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Ahabrach at 11. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Lafoyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via Donaghadee Parish on YouTube. The death has occurred of Josephine McGinty, 2 Sprackburn Crescent, Letterkenny, and formerly of Drummer Da, Manor Cunningham. Her remains are reposing at the Letterkenny Funeral Home, Port Road, with viewing this evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m, with removal at 8:15 p.m, going to St. Eunan's Cathedral for 8:30 to repose overnight. Funeral Mass there tomorrow morning at 11 a.m, with interment afterwards to the family plot in Drumahol Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/Letterkenny. Family flowers only, all inquiries to Con McDade Funeral Director, Letterkenny. The death has taken place in Hertfordshire, England, of Tony McColgan. A celebration of life mass for Tony will take place tomorrow evening at 7:30 in St. Patrick's Church, Ochaclay, Mallin. And the death has taken place of Daniel Doherty, Peer House, Glandore, Skibbereen, County Cork, formerly of Glasgow, son of the late John and Teresa Doherty, Drumhalla, Rathmullen. His remains will repose at the residence of his brother James Doherty, Glencross, Rathmullen, from 7 p.m. this evening, with family and close friends welcome. Requiem Mass on Thursday at 11 a.m. in St. Joseph's Church, Rathmullen. Burial afterwards in Rathmullen Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed on MCN Media, St. Joseph's Church, Rathmullen.